have this morning is that, hey, He is still arranging. Since God did so many miracles to get Christ here and have Him manifest in the flesh, then God needed His Word to go out to generations past, present, and future. And to do so, He still does miracles. Now, the word miracle is something that the people in the world today don't want to hear much of. In fact, they try to dismiss it. Talk about the wise men coming, you know, the star. There are so many theories out there how it just so happened, you know, this comet did this and this happened in the year 2000. Trying to explain away the miracles that Jesus did. I saw a little bit of a documentary several years ago how some organization has spent many, many years trying to dismantle those 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt. You know, they said just natural phenomena, the water turning to blood and all the grasshoppers. Hey, God's still doing miracles. And if the news media and all those organizations can get your mind and try to get it off the fact that He did do miracles, then you and I would have a harder time explaining or believing and trusting that He still can do miracles today. So we're going to look, first of all, at the arrangements for Jesus' manifestation in the flesh. We're going to look about six different groups of things, and we'll do it a little bit differently. First of all, let's look at the prophecy that was given, just a few of them, before the birth of Christ, several hundred years before. Remember, the prophecy was that He would be born in the lineage of David, and that He was. And then the Bible says He shall be called a Nazarene. Even though Joseph was originally from Bethlehem, his forefathers was, and that's where Jesus was going to be born, but he was going to live and marry Mary in Nazareth. And that's where Jesus abode several years before He became one that would go out and prophesy and do all those miracles. And if you read carefully in the New Testament, the miracles Jesus performed, many of them, in fact, about all of them, He did it, not just for that individual case, but for people to believe that He was the Son of God. So God did those miracles, and we were going to see this morning about the miracles, about the prophecy. And then the Bible says, by prophecy, He was going to be born of a virgin. We see all those details at the right time came to pass. Song was so beautiful and so precious this morning. Not only a prophecy that was proclaimed by the prophets, but look how He prepared ordinary people. Remember, there was Zacharias in the temple. Zacharias, an old man, his wife Elizabeth, an old woman, and God's going to use their son, that they're going to have an old age, to be the forerunner of Jesus. He wants a person to go out there and prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did a miracle, of course, by letting Elizabeth bear a son in her old age. And then, of course, was Mary, a young virgin. God was going to use her at the right time. There she was in Nazareth, and the angel Gabriel, the same one that had come and told Elizabeth earlier that she was going to, or Zacharias, that he was going to have a son, came and told Mary. We covered that a couple of weeks ago. How shall this be? She said, seeing I know not a man. God uses people. Then, of course, Joseph, who was going to marry Mary, but then he found out she was already with child, and he was going to privately put her away. But the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him, fear not, don't do the same, because that which is going to be born of her is of the Holy Ghost. God used ordinary people. He used Elizabeth, He used Zacharias, He used Mary, He used Joseph. And then, of course, of all people, He would use Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome. How would He use him? Because he was going to make a decree from out of nowhere that all the people should be taxed. Well, that sounds good enough because that's what government's for, seems like anymore, is taxation. But now he said, but all the little side note, you have to go back to your essence where your forefathers came from. Isn't that interesting that God uses people like Augustus Caesar to make that proclamation and that decree? Well, we've seen how he uses prophecy, he uses preparing people, but let's see how he prepared the timing of all this. Because everything he has done so far has been a miracle. Sending Gabriel just at the right time, because the birth of John, the birth of Jesus, is going to be on this wise at the precise time. And then, of course, the angel that appeared to Joseph in the dream, just at the time he was going to put her away. But see, God had already planned and prepared. So God's timing is perfect. Joseph, you can't do that because I've got plans for her. And what God planned is going to happen. The Bible says if God opens a door, no man can close it. And then if God closes the door, no man's going to open it either. And we see that Caesar Augustus decreed. But I want to look next at the thing that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, of course, already proclaimed. And he was going to be born in a stable. Wasn't it going to be in room for him in the end? All these things had been perfect timing. Because remember now, he was Joseph got that word, you have to go be taxed a certain time. And now she is with child. God knows that child is going to be born upon arrival in Bethlehem, and he knows there's going to be no place then. He prepared all this, and God now has arranged a 100-mile trip with a woman ready to have a baby. Can you imagine how many days it took them to walk up that hillside? And now as they were going, of course, God has everything prepared, everything planned. And as a side note, God has everything prepared and planned for your life and mine. And I believe all these details that he tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ lets us know and be assured that, he came, he died, he arose, he ascended. And the proclamation goes out to lost. Why did he come? Seeking to save that which was lost. You were lost. I was lost. The world is lost. Our job is to let God prepare our hearts and prepare our ways. At the right timing. We're going to look at that later on. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, we learn about the wise men. And the people are trying their best, many of them, to take the miracles out of this. But let's just see what God says. I don't do anything else except this is what God says. And if God declares it, then there's no other book in the world ever has been to tell you any different than what God says. Factual, that is. Chapter 2, Matthew. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Beth, house of bread, he was the bread of life, of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen, look at this, his star in the east. God did a miracle in performing and planting a star, his star. So we know that. Astrologers, scientists have spent decades and years trying to decide a natural phenomenon somewhere, but the Bible says his star. That's a miracle. However, God did. Now, it won't be a problem for God because he created all the stars and all the planets and put everything in motion. And you say, well, it was a natural phenomenon. Well, that's even a bigger miracle. That God to look ahead of time, knowing at the right time that those comets or whatever he might have used would be at the right time for Jesus' birth. That's even a bigger miracle. Any way you look at it, God sent the wise men and let them understand that something's going to happen. And you need to go inquire. Hey, God's telling you and I today, something's going to happen. The Lord is soon coming. He's going to say, we see the signs and the wonders in the world, and we see the prophecy being fulfilled, and we see in the last days evil seducers will wax worse and worse, and we see all the things happening. And at the same time, we know that Jesus is soon coming. He has prepared the way for us to proclaim the good news. Let's keep reading. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. So he gathered all the chief priests and scribes and all the people together. He demanded them where Christ should be born. So now the wise men, we don't know when they left. They left after he was born. Didn't say that, did it? So I don't know. You don't know. There was a star. And God could have, if he wanted to, prepared it, because he had already come in the womb of Mary. He didn't have to wait for him to be birthed. He was still God incarnate in Mary's womb. God could have, if he wanted to, prepared that star and got them on their way. It's about a 1,700-mile journey that they had to go, something like that. It probably took 4 to 6 months to get there. But if God wanted them there right after the birth of the baby, he could have done that. It wouldn't be any problem for God. But God is arranging. We try to figure it all out. Scientists try to figure it all out. Just let God work a miracle. He's already worked it. Let us believe a miracle has been performed, that these wise men have seen his star and they're headed to worship him. That's what it's all about. Everything that is about us worshiping him. All the preparation God's done for you and I in this world is for us to worship him. Everything is about worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's keep going. And then we see after the babe was born, an angel came and told the shepherds on the hillside that this babe has been born in Bethlehem. Go inquire. He's going to be exactly where we tell you to go. You just go look for him and you'll find him. And they hasten. And then as they were going, let's read the text together in Matthew. The Bible says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. God allowed a host of angels, a multitude of angels, to come on a Judean hillside and sing glory to God. God's creation is about praising Christ Jesus. He has made him ruler over all things. My job and yours and the job of all creation is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds are there on the hillside glorifying and praising God. So the shepherds went and found it just as it was told to them, that Jesus was born, and they worshiped him. And then they went abroad and spread the word, and they didn't understand it. Things meant more to them than getting back home and taking care of the sheep out on the hillside. They were going to proclaim the good news that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. You and I need to realize and understand there's things more important than their daily activities, you know, feeding their mouth and having all the pleasures, that there's a child being born, a child that grew up and was crucified and died for sins, applied the blood to their heart and lives, and we go tell others by our living, by our actions. And the people that they told wondered, didn't understand. Now you and I tell the lost, dying world. And even in John's gospel, telling about all the miracles, people would see the miracles and understand many of them and still did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And then John said it's because Jesus knew they wouldn't believe, so he hardened their heart and blinded their eyes that they could not see. That's what's happened to the world today. They've heard the good news about Jesus. They want to dismiss it. They don't want to be proclaimed. And God has hardened their heart and stiffen their neck, and blind their eyes that they cannot see. Would he do that? Or not only would he did, and he is doing it today. So let's look now furthermore at the wise men in chapter 2, verse 9. Matthew. Now these wise men, they've been traveling over 1,700 miles for several months now. We don't know when they started, and if people say it's after his birth. Could be in it. Doesn't say that. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Is that a miracle? Look in the heavens on a starry night. You see a star light years away. It's shining. Where is it shining? Broadly. This star, a miracle, stood. How'd that happen? God performs miracles. That star that they had been following came and stood over the house where the child was. How'd that happen? One explanation. A miracle. Wouldn't have been a problem for God. He can do anything He wants to do. And now they have worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep reading. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to hurry, they departed into their own country another way. So now, of course, God got them there safely. He protects them when? At the precise time He knows they need to get gone. The same thing is true today. God protects us from all our enemies. Our life is hid with Christ and God. Let's look at the program now that God uses for the mother and Joseph. They got a job to do. Mary has been delivered of a man-child. It's her responsibility to rear him according to the customs and according to the traditions and according to the perfect law of God. Let's read the text together in Luke chapter 22, verse 22. Luke 2, 22. Second chapter, verse 22. This is about her purification. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. Remember, he's born in Bethlehem. To present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. A lot of the things we read about the birth, it's a little bit, it's not in great detail. This is in great detail. The law of the Lord says 40 days. 40 days after he was born, he goes from Bethlehem. I don't know how long it takes to get there, but we know one thing. On the 40th day, he is in the temple according to the purification of the law that God already proclaimed. So now, they went from Bethlehem sometime. Did the angel of the Lord direct that? Of course. And now the angel directed the wise men to get back, and they were in Bethlehem, and they've had, you say, well, he was born in the stable. Yeah, but the next day and the next day and the next day, you don't expect that he stayed in the stable, because now it's daytime. They get out and they find a place of abode for a few days. But now, sometime in that 40 days, they're traveling back just 6 miles or so to Jerusalem. And the wise men, if they were there, and I believe they were, had ample time to visit him, a small child, in a house, wherever their boat, wherever the star stood over that house. Let's keep reading. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now we see a proclamation at the right time. Jesus gets there, of course, according to law. Joseph and Mary are following the law. They get there, and God has prepared a man to proclaim something and see how the Holy Ghost works at the right time. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to custom of the law, at the perfect time, he's there. He's already heard from the Lord. The Lord directs our path. He tells us things ahead of time. The vow, just man, you won't depart. I won't take you home until you see the Christ child. Now we want to look at the prophecies, because there is another lady there that God wants to use also. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of a tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Listen to this. And she coming in at that instant. Instantly. God's timing is so perfect. Gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now God has led Joseph and Mary to Jerusalem. According to the law, they presented him. We have the proclamation of Simeon. We have the prophetess telling that she had followed the Lord, and now she has given a proclamation. And then let's look at some scripture that you just can't deny. Can't deny any of it, but it's so clear. Some of the scripture, we don't understand when they left. We don't understand a lot of the things. We don't even know the day. We don't even know the year that Jesus came. There's a lot of arguments about it, but what does it matter? God keeps up with all those things, and if he wanted us to know, he would have told us. Luke 2:39. After they had performed, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Jerusalem, presentation to the Lord. The Bible clearly says, and then they went to Galilee, Nazareth, the city of Galilee. And if there's ever a time that Jesus ever went back as a babe, as a young child, to Bethlehem, the scripture is silent. In fact, the scripture only mentions Bethlehem one other time after this. And this is that mention. This John 7:42. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and they have the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So now the scripture said that Jesus has been taken back to Nazareth after that he has been presented to the Lord. Well, you say, well, there's controversy between that and Matthew. Not at all. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 2:13. No discrepancies in the Word of God. Sometimes a little bit more detailed. Matthew 2:13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. But God knew when Herod was going to start seeking the child. Nazareth is a part of Galilee, which Herod is already over. Now we're going to see what the proclamation Herod has proclaimed, because Jesus, according to God, is not going to be safe in Nazareth either, because if Herod is against our Herod, he is going to deal with all his territory. He can't go to Egypt because he does not have jurisdiction there. Isn't it good? The Bible says our life is hid with Christ in God. And the angel knew exactly at the right time to tell Joseph. Remember, they went back to Nazareth and now they're going to Egypt. Let's keep reading. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he had saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof. He didn't just go looking for the children in Bethlehem. He prayed from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Remember in Jerusalem, he diligently inquired of the wise men. From that time that he diligently inquired, he was fooled. He was wrong. He thought they were out looking. And now he made a decree from 2 years old. Because now all these people, the government workers that work for him, is going to go from house to house in all the territory of Galilee, all the coasts thereof. How long do you think it's going to take? Didn't have automobile to get there. They had to go in every house. It's going to take months and months and months. And he knows it's going to take a while. So this 2 years came in and said, well, Jesus was 2 years old when they visited. It didn't say that. A lot of details we don't know, but we do know this, that it was 2 years from the time that he diligently required. And that's all we know. So we look, saying, arise and take the young child. But when Herod was dead, verse 19, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared into a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the Lord, young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And there he was raised the rest of his days in Nazareth, because the Bible says he cometh out of Nazareth. He's a Nazarite. So we looked all this time at the arrangements God made for the manifestation of his son in the flesh. And now that was we only know probably 0.01% of all the arrangements God made. But we did know he worked miracles. He used people. He used prophecy. He used stars. He used anything he needed. His arsenal is so great. But now, for the last 2,000 years or so, the life he lived and the death he suffered on the cross was not just for his coming, it was for the salvation. He came to seek and save that which was lost. So if God spent all that much time arranging for his birth and his ascension, what do you think he's done in the last 2,000? What do you think he's doing now to prepare you and I to go out and spread the word that people can hear to get saved? Well, let's look at that just for a few minutes. We don't understand. We don't know. I start thinking about my own life. Just think about yours. Think about my own life. You know, a 12-year-old boy saved and back on the backside of nowhere, reared, been in church all my life. But then God arranged my life to be around men that had such an influence on my life. Dr. J. Harold Smith, Dr. Percy Ray. God arranged that at the perfect time. And if you only knew, if the people of this church are knowing all the arrangements God made, and I don't even know a tenth of a percent of them, but all the arrangements God made to give us this property here. 30 years ago, we didn't have enough parking room at the old church to park 25 or 30 cars. We were landlocked. I don't have time to tell you all those arrangements, but if I think about it, and I remember just as though they were yesterday, every one of them. We got to arrange the land, and then we need to build the building, and we didn't even own this. We only owned like 12 feet behind the fellowship. We owned nothing. And it wasn't easy to get. Got to arrange it just step by step by step by step. And I looked at all the other things in my life God has arranged. And look at your life. We're not sure by accident. The children you have and the children God gave me and their grandchildren, God arranges these things. Sometimes he does miracles. God is just a couple of things he wants me to mention. One day, a few years ago, to show how God's in the arrangements of my everyday life, I was leaving out my driveway. I was going up the road. And there was two boys on bicycles. One of them may be here this morning, I don't know. But anyway, those two boys were like I was. If I had a bicycle when I was 10 or 12 years old, I'd been doing just what they would. Just riding all over the road, you know, not paying attention. And then they saw me behind them, and I was just barely crawling, and two other cars coming the other way. And so they pulled off through the bushes over to the right. And I was just barely crawling because I didn't know when they might come out. And suddenly they came out of a hidden driveway and hit the rear of my Pilot I had just bought, 2004 Pilot, and they crashed against that. And I thought, what if they had come out a tenth of a second earlier, right under my vehicle, and I would have killed them, and I couldn't have to. God says, that's my timing. So I rushed in my car, the other two vehicles stopped and said, we saw it all, you know, if they're hurt. I said, you boys hurt? And even though they were skinned up, no, we're fine. I didn't ask their names. I didn't get their parents. The witnesses said, hey, give us your phone number. Something ever happened. And I knew my vehicle was pretty bad damaged, but I didn't even look. It's not that I got a lot of money, but it didn't matter. I didn't look to see the damage on that right rear side of my vehicle for at least 2 weeks. I was so consumed with the knowledge that God's timing, God let this happen for a reason, to show me my timing is such, I take care of every detail in your life so you didn't kill those two boys. So finally, I said, okay, I got to get it fixed. I go get an estimate. It's $495. My deductible is $500. But you know, it didn't matter. Not that I had 500 extra dollars, but it didn't matter whether I did or not. Many times along the journey, I don't have time to tell you to jot it down. How many times have God spared your life or done something spontaneous, just like Anna coming out instantly? God does miracles. Think about when you got saved. Well, they're going to think about when you got saved. I think about many of you when you got saved. Wasn't it wonderful when God, the Holy Ghost, came your way? Salvation. And then how you gave your children and how many times your children were in trouble somehow and God spared them, God saved them. And God let us know in part all these miracles that He did get. To let us know that He's still doing miracles. And when people try to dismiss miracles in the Word of God and try to say we evolved and didn't get here any other way except by accident, God did miracles. He spoke the world into existence. And all these things to let us know. And all the miracles God did through Jesus while He was here upon this earth, ministry in 3.5 years, miracle after miracle, to let us know that in the last 2,000 years, and even so, God is a God of miracles. And you and I don't even know a tenth of a percent of them. But the ones I do know, I rejoice greatly knowing that He is, the steps of a good man are prepared by the Lord. Not that I'm good, not that you're good either, but He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. God is still preparing for us a place to worship, a place to live, food to eat, things that we can get the word out. Think about the miracles found in and how God spared those people that came over here and settled America to be a place to proclaim the gospel to the world. On, God still does miracles. And when I understand that, I know it gives me faith, it gives me trust to know that He takes care of any situation I'm in, He prepares my path, He opens doors, He tells me, He speaks to me, He spoke to Joseph. A lot of people say, hey, the New Testament era, God don't speak. I've heard preachers say that. You must eat something bad for supper, think God spoke to you. What do you read that in the Bible? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How do you know you're called a preacher if you don't know He spoke to you? How do you know you're saved if you don't know He spoke to you? Hey, folks, we're serving a great God. We look at His birth. That's just a little bit of what we know. We don't know many details about it, just what He wants to know. But we do know this. All these things were wonderful miracles. And God's on the throne. People say the most ridiculous things. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Going through a hardship or going through something bad, and they make a proclamation. Where was God when that happened? On his throne. He's always been. God allows, he orchestrates, he proclaims, he does many things that we don't understand just to let us know that he's God. We appreciate you being here this morning. Thank God for opportunity on a Christmas morning just to come and celebrate. Brother Randy, do you have a song that we could sing? God put on your heart some song? Or anybody's got a song this morning? I don't look at my watch. We got plenty of time, I'm sure. Probably don't have a lot planned this afternoon, but if you do, it's okay. Take another 5, 10 minutes, 30, whatever it takes. Anyone have a word? This is Christmas Day. That's on your heart. Song to sing. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be here. Not nearly as cold as it was yesterday morning. Wind's not blowing hardly as hard. It's not. God's been good to us. He spared our life. He got us here. And he'll get us all the way home. All the way home, because he prepared a place for us. He's coming again. He's preparing a ministry for you, for me, to carry out. He does miracles in the making. All these things he does for us, for his name's sake, for his glory. We don't get any glory out of it. No flesh shall glory in his sight, Brother Randy. Everyone stand.